Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yay! Hey, everybody. I'm so
Finally figured
happy
this thing out.
right now. This is amazing. I cannot believe it worked.
I know, first try.
Okay, perfect. so welcome back to the Green Mile, everybody.
Welcome. What is this, episode
Welcome.
six?
Oh my gosh, it's episode six. I cannot even. So Misty, did you see the Supreme Court stayed Nathaniel Woods's execution?
Oh, I didn't even see. I've been so busy. I didn't even look it up and see.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. So it was earlier today, like 6 hours ago. It said that they would not offer, or they that the Supreme Court would not do a stay, but then an hour ago it was they intervened, delaying his execution. So there are questions of
Really?
his culpability. No evidence showing he had plotted to ambush the police officers. I'm reading right now from the New York Times. So sorry, I mean I just it literally just happened, guys. So this is not like a lack of prep. It just happened.
Oh, I just read this. Okay, what time is it? 8:01? At 7, because I just Googled it. At 7:53 p.m. Is that the last one? 7:53. Today's March 5th, right? The U.S. Supreme Court has denied Nathaniel Woods' appeals and lifted the stay, clearing the way for his execution in Alabama tonight.
Okay, so that's what I first read like 6 hours ago. And then 1 hour ago, it said the New York Times said that they offered a temporary stay. So Supreme Court orders temporary stay. That's the last one I got, but you're saying, oh.
At 7:53, they lifted the stay.
Yeah,
How
that's on the Marshall
scary!
Project. What in the world is happening? Okay, so guys, our last it's 8:01 p.m. and like Misty said, at 7:53 p.m. the US Supreme Court has denied appeals and lifted the stay. So they've cleared it for his execution. So it hasn't this is like a live execution
Oh
episode.
my God. Oh my, I would die of a nervous wreck.
Literally, also like the family, everyone involved. I mean, like, geez, Louise, can you hear me? My little, okay, sorry.
Oh my.
Okay, so we will, we'll do the story and then we'll keep checking so we can do live updates.
Yes. Oh my God,
Oh
yes.
gosh.
How
Wow.
scary. Like, you wake up and you're like, oh, well, today's my day. And
Right.
then it's
8 minutes
not.
before your scheduled time to die, they say, oh no, we are giving you a stay. And then 2 hours later, literally like to a minute, guess what? Actually, you should have had that last meal. You should have eaten those two raw
You
onions.
should
Okay.
already be dead, but
Oh God. Yeah. Oh gosh. All right. So how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I
You ready
am,
for your trip?
yes, I was gonna say, I'm trying to do like last minute stuff and I have to pack and I'm doing good though. I'm so excited to go.
I'm glad. And I'm ready to get back to where we can record in person because I miss it so much. It also helped me keep like my house more clean because I was like, oh, I have a guest. Let me clean. And I just told my daughter that I was like, okay, you have everything you need. I'm gonna go record with Misty. And she was like, oh, is she here? And I was like, no. It's like
I'm
eight
so sad.
a huh?
I said I'm so sad I'm not. I feel like
No, me
we
too.
knew what we were doing better. Like, I don't know
Yes.
if you even told me what case you're doing tonight. If you have, I don't even remember.
I'm not,
So,
but
and
that's
I
because
don't
it was
think
a
I,
surprise.
Oh, because I didn't tell you what I was doing before. It's like, hey.
So. And also, we're going to see how this goes because I haven't looked at the notes since I did my research, which was the first time we tried to remote record. It's been a minute, but this is a case that Misty, I did this case for you, Misty. This is on the murder suicide. Yes, this is on the mayor of Jesus Christ. I should have read through these notes before we started. The mayor of Coppell, Texas, Jane Peters, and the murder of her daughter, Mary Corinne Peters. And it's a trip, girl. It is a trip.
I, like, vaguely remember the story. Like, it always stuck in my head, but I don't remember all the details. So, I hate to say I'm excited, but I'm excited to hear you tell it.
Excuse me. It's not as far away as that baseball guy, but it's been, like, since 09, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so just a little fact real quick on, this is really on suicide, more than murder-suicide, but anyways. So, according to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, suicide claims in the United States more lives than war, murder, and natural disasters combined. And every day, approximately 129 Americans take their own lives, which feels like a lot.
Yeah, I feel like we don't hear about it.
Right.
Enough for people to, unless it's like somebody famous or something. It's not.
Right. If you hear about it, it's presented as like this surprise, just devastating tragedy, and then you realize that, like, I mean, that's almost three people per state. You know, that's like two people per state plus some pocket change, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Anyways, okay. So, the mayor, as Misty calls her, Jane Peters, and her daughter. Her name is Mary Corinne Peters. They called her Corinne. So, we're going to call her Corinne. From the rest of the story. Sorry, guys. We've worked all day, and I get a little stupid. So, okay. So, the Peters lived in Coppell, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas. It's a population of, like, 39,000 folks. So, on July 12th, 2009... between 6 a.m. and 6:30 a.m., Jane Peters shot her daughter, Corinne Peters. Corinne had been loading her personal belongings into her brand new 2011. So, I'm sorry. I think this was 2010.
Okay.
Let me see here. Yeah, 2010. Okay.
Did they live together?
They did. Corinne was had just graduated high school that May, and she was getting ready to go to her freshman orientation at the University of Texas. So she had actually loaded. Corinne had loaded her belongings into this Hyundai Sonata, which was a graduation present from her mother to her. So they were getting ready to take a road trip to the university. Okay. And she shot her, like, the floor plan would be, like, there's a garage and then, like, a walk-through where, like, the laundry room is into the kitchen. And she was shot in that walk-through area, in the back of the neck, like, one shot. Her mother had wrapped a towel around her head, and they didn't know if it was either A, to cover her face, or B, because of the blood. I kind of think probably both.
I would think both.
Yeah. And they lived on in a two-story house on Greenway Drive in Coppell. And after she shot her daughter, she... just a second. Yeah, so she was between the kitchen and garage in the laundry room, shot one time in the back of the neck. And remember that this happened between 6 and 6:30. And Jane, the mayor, had the Hyundai Sonata delivered back to the Avis car rental place where she had rented it from by 7 a.m. that morning.
Well, why would you do that?
Because she didn't buy the damn car. Because she told her daughter... The car, the new car.
She bought it, but she didn't. She rented it.
She was renting it. Yeah. Yeah, girl.
So she could make her happy before she killed her?
It, honest to God, in one of the suicide notes, she made it sound like they had this plan together. But this whole girl's life, like, she had actually verbalized to her friends, like, how frustrated she was because they had already missed one freshman orientation because her mother was getting tests done for cancer. She didn't have cancer. She, okay. Yeah. I'm going to get off on a tangent because this one is intense. So she shot her daughter, unloaded the stuff out of the vehicle, took the vehicle back to the car rental place, and then she came back to the home. And she took the dogs outside. She saw a couple neighbors. She waved at them. She told them that she was doing good. Yeah, and Corinne was supposed to be going to freshman orientation at the University of Texas, but she had actually, they checked records. There was no record of her as an applicant there or at her second choice, Texas Christian University. There was no brochures or catalogs or anything in the home, that was related to, any college, any university. And basically, it was determined that Corinne's mother, Jane, had done her college applications, which I think there is, like, this whole thing in society now where, as parents, we feel the need to make sure our children excel by doing more.
Right.
Like, applying to college for them. And so, it's, like, unsurprising in this situation. Jane is totally the type of mother that instead of telling her daughter, like, okay, where do you want to go to school? Okay, well, this one's in my budget. This is what, you know, okay, this is where, like, let's apply here, here, here. And instead of, like, guiding her through the process, she would just actually do the college applications.
Right.
And she had told several friends that she was going to go to TCU, but then she found out that she got into University of Texas, which was her first choice. And so then she let them know that she was going there, and she was really excited. Like I said, she had been expressing frustration because she had missed she had, like, signed up for and missed, like, several orientations prior to the one they were going to go to because her mother was having cancer testing done at MD Anderson. There was no evidence that she was ever a patient at MD Anderson. No college brochures, catalogs, or correspondence. She had the car delivered by 7 a.m. At 10 a.m., she was in the backyard with her dogs. At 12:30, she was found walking near a Mormon church. And I apologize if anyone listening is Mormon. And if your place of worship is called something other than a church, I'm just not aware of that. And it was in the article I read listed as a Mormon church, so I'm not sure, but near a Mormon church on MacArthur Boulevard, and she looked uncharacteristically disheveled, which I'm going to assume is because she murdered her child that day.
Yeah.
Okay, it's sad. So later that night, or early the next morning, Jane took a pillow, a blanket, and a book about coping with suicide into an upstairs bathroom. Tucked into the book were photos of her husband and her daughter, and there were certain passages in the book that were marked. They were found at 7:45 p.m. on July 13th. She had failed to show up to a city council meeting, and she never missed anything like that. So she kind of did some scene setting in the home between when she killed Corinne and she killed herself. She put out a newspaper open to an article about suicide on a chair in the living room. She put her city laptop and BlackBerry on the kitchen counter with a note that said, "These belong to the city of Koppel." Corinne's room was neat and tidy. And she put several notes, like letting people know where things were. Like, she had a note with a key on the front door for the first responders that were going to find them. She had a note on her city belongings, like the computer and BlackBerry. She had a note telling them where to find the ammunition and stuff, because this is what is super interesting. And everyone has opposing opinions about guns, but anywho, Cedar Hill, Texas Mayor Robert Frank lent her the Glock 17 9mm after she told him she was considering getting a concealed handgun license. So this was a gun that a fellow mayor had just let her borrow.
So she could, like, take the test?
I guess. I don't know how that works. Yeah. My uncle actually, like, makes his own bullets and stuff and would probably be very ashamed to hear me say that. But I don't know anything about guns. So, yeah.
So you have to have a gun when you get your concealed carry, because you have to shoot it for them.
Really?
Like at a target. Yeah, at a target, to prove that you know how to use it.
I gotcha.
Properly.
I gotcha.
So there's like a classroom part, and then there's like the outdoor target part.
Okay. I gotcha. She typed 3 suicide notes and handwrote one more. And what was interesting is they could not find the computer where she typed these notes. It was not her city-owned computer. It was not her office computer or, like, their home computer, which I thought that was super spooky. One note that she had, this is just amazing to me, had care instructions for the 2 dogs and 4 cats and how to take care of them.
She is a strange lady.
She just had to have everything in order. Like, I wonder, after reading it and reading how much detail went into everything like that, I'm like, okay, so she knew she was going to do this for quite some time. Like, there's...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking after the things that you're saying. Like, she's been lying and stuff for the longest. Like,
literally. I mean, this would take, a year? Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
At least. Probably, Christmas break of her daughter's senior year of high school, she was like, okay, you know what? It's just not working. Because this is way too organized. This was like, okay, I'm going to have to get a car. Because that car that she had rented, her daughter had had it since her graduation. It was a graduation present. Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I wonder how long before she typed up these letters. She didn't just do it because...
They couldn't find the device that she did it on.
The computer would have been there.
Yeah.
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 So I wonder how long she had them just waiting for the day.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the woman had left care instructions for her. Like, I don't know if she even allowed herself to feel, because I don't know how you murder your child.
She must have really felt she had no other options. Like, to sit down and write out care instructions.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I want people to take care of my dog.
Right.
And cats, but
yeah.
I mean, I have no choice but to do what I'm about to do.
And it was kind of like she was not going to... She didn't know how to give up the image that she had cultivated of herself within her community. And so I don't think she felt like she had an out. It's sad. Okay. So she placed her husband's urns. So this is like everything she did. They feel like she had a little checklist between when she killed Corinne and when she killed herself. So she placed her husband's urns on the kitchen table, and he had died in 08. And many friends said that she never recovered. She placed 4 stuffed animals and a pillow with her daughter. And then she also placed 2 fentanyl patches on her back. But then when they did her autopsy, there was no evidence of painkillers in her system, which her husband passed away from a form of cancer. So either she had placed them on and then like immediately died. And she just wasn't, you know, her heart wasn't pumping. So there was no blood getting to the surface of the skin to pull that fentanyl into her body, or they were just super old patches. I kind of think maybe they were just really old, like left over from his treatment. But anyways, okay. So, in the notes, she hinted at the fact that her and her daughter could not recover after she lost her husband, and that Corinne was involved with the planning. But it seemed kind of I think maybe there was some self-validating in that, because she definitely hid a lot from her daughter. So I'm not sure if that was just something for her to do this. She had to make herself believe that this is what Corinne wanted as well. Because she definitely was trying to, I think, hide it from her kiddo. So after her death, she was facing, this is kind of what was found out. So there was no record of her as a patient. Her daughter had not applied to university. The car was a rental that was being paid for by the city of Coppell. Neighbors told police that the house had fallen into a state of disrepair since Donald Peters had passed, her husband, which I get. Like, I'm a single mom, and I'm sure people think my house looks like it's in disrepair. So, like, girl, I'm there with you, Jane. Just saying. I was just, like, also, like, God, her neighbors are petty.
Do you think that she went nuts after he died?
I don't know if she went nuts, but I think that she wanted to make sure Corinne's life did not change at all, because he did not have a life insurance policy. So when he passed away, they lost his income and did not receive any money. And I think she was so determined to maintain the standard middle income perfect life for her child that she was like, okay, I'm gonna just do what I can do until I can't do it anymore, and then it's gonna be over. And I think she just got to a point where she realized that she couldn't maintain that anymore. And also, I did kind of feel like maybe the environment that she was in, and she was part of that environment, but I'm sorry, like, if you kill yourself and your daughter, and then your neighbors tell people that your house fell into disrepair after your husband died, petty! Like, jeez!
Yeah.
I'm just, like, okay. So, she was facing financial problems, and she was also facing suspicions and investigations from city officials, because money kind of disappeared around her. She owed thousands of dollars in personal charges. Well, on her city issued credit card, she had thousands of dollars of personal charges. And her home was facing foreclosure. And her husband, like I said, he did not have a life insurance policy. And Jane was not receptive to outside help. Like, at one point, their church, her husband's friend from work, his job, like people that he worked with, raised money for Jane, and she would not accept it. They had to kind of go around her, give it to the staff at her church, and then have the church give it to her. As like, this is not just people feeling sorry for you, but this is like your church and they want to give you money. And so she was receptive to that. But she was not receptive to outside, you know, most outside help.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was very inconclusive about how involved Corinne was in the planning. It was just hinted at in the note. You know, she was in high school, and I just feel like people in high school talk a whole lot. And I'm just surprised that none of her friends knew. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Anyways, okay, I'm going through these again. Let's see here. Yeah, so basically it was kind of concluded that because of the state of her home and the state of her job, and then the state of her finances, the possibility of her losing the home, Corinne's life was basically also at a standstill. She didn't do the college application. She didn't do any of that stuff. That basically, because of all of that, that is what kind of created a perfect storm for Jane Peters and made her decide to commit this murder-suicide.
Yeah. That's sad.
Isn't it sad?
Yes.
It also still super, super creeps me out that they never found out where she wrote those,
I know. Do you think she did it at the suicide library or something?
Yeah, I think she probably was definitely very secretive about it. Or, like, maybe even, like, stayed in a hotel one weekend that had an office. You know, like a space for conferences and stuff. Like, did it, like, outside of her town, just in case, you know?
So she did it ahead
and
of time.
Super weird. Yeah. Oh, and her note that was on her door with the key had an apology. Like I'm sorry for what you're about to see. Which I think is just so sad. Like,
so I feel like she really thought there was no. I mean, she apologized. I mean, she wrote, "Take care of my animals." Like,
wrapped her daughter up. Seem okay to her daughter.
Yeah.
Right.
And then wrapped her up. Like, I feel like she felt like she had no other option.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like,
right.
Sometimes it's like a, you know, almost like a crime of passion or something. Where there's usually like money problems or something. But it almost seems like it's last minute. Like, I don't know, maybe something comes out and then they're like, oh, well, then I'll kill you and me both. But
yeah,
I don't know, for it to be planned out so far in advance.
Yeah, just to have everything. I mean, and it was even like she knew when they were going to find them. Like, she knew that. And I just feel like you're super dedicated to your job as a single mother. If you miss one city council meeting and they're like, oh no, something's wrong with Jane, like, you are already doing a lot at work. You're trying to raise your child by yourself. Uh-huh. Your neighbors are talking shit about your house falling into disrepair. Like,
but none of them offer trying to come over and help her do anything.
Right.
It's like, our neighbor's on the side, but we're going to sip tea and talk about her. We're not going to go over there.
No shit.
And I'm not going to send my husband over to see if she needs a daggum light bulb changed in the foyer.
Right. Right. Like, I mean, and Corinne was involved in activities after school and stuff. This is the mayor of your town.
I know. Like, come on, like, people. Let's go Texas. Texas, you're supposed to be better than that.
Right. You can give her a gun, but you can't go, you know, trim her hedges. I just don't understand what is happening. It's so
people
crazy.
People are terrible.
You're fucking terrible people. Okay. Okay, let's see here. Oh, and then the putting a newspaper out in the living room open to an article about suicide.
I wonder what article it was.
I don't know. I think it was just like a general. I mean, here's the other thing. Like, Corinne's room, like, the bed was made. It was neat and tidy. Like, this woman cleaned her daughter's bedroom. Because, you know, no 18-year-old is, like, jumping out of bed, packing the car at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then also making her bed.
Yeah. Aww.
I just hate that. Like,
she wanted it. She wanted, this whole time, she's wanted her life to look perfect to everyone. I mean, she rented a car for how long?
Jesus, like, two
stole
months.
Money. to make her life seem like it was perfect. And even upon their deaths, when she knew people would be coming in, and she wanted it to look perfect.
And yes. And to know that someone organized their death in that. Okay, so I guess, like, I do hospice for a living, and I feel like death is very personal. Like, it's the only journey we take on our own. And I don't want to talk too much about it, because sometimes, like, I'll be, like, drinking with friends or something, I'll start talking about death, and it'll get weird. But not to me. But then I realize how much people don't talk about death. But death is so personal. And for my patients, I always want to make sure that everyone dies. Everyone has to, right? So I want to make sure that it is a death that is okay for them, that is comfortable, that is meets, I don't want to say like meets their expectations, because that may sound odd, but to know that she did not even die in a way of like, what does Jane want? Like, she was still like, okay, oh wait, I gotta put a note here, yeah, so they know how to take care of the dogs, and let me leave a note for the first responders, oh, and let me go clean Corinne's room, because I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that is not, like, I just feel like if you're about to die, like, I think I wish, like, you would be thinking about things other than that. But maybe if that's her whole world, fine, that's her whole world, you know? But
it doesn't seem like there was any peace. And maybe there's not peace when someone yes, kills their child.
Thank you.
Themselves,
yeah.
But, I don't know. It seems sad. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
It's more, like, I think whenever you first read about it and you hear about how she was, like, laundering money from the city, and you, like, I was basically on her side from whenever I read about her damn neighbors talking about her house falling into disrepair.
Yes.
Like, listen, here now. And also, I felt like no matter what she put in the notes about Corinne's possible culpability, I feel like if you go to all that trouble to tell your daughter, like, oh, you got into TCU, you know, it's your second choice, and then to say, oh, actually, you got into the University of Texas, and we're going to go to orientation here. Oh, wait, mom's sick. Like, we're going to have to, okay, so now we're going to go this weekend. Oh, and look, here's your graduation present. It's a new car. Like, that's a whole lot of trouble to go into to make sure that your child feels like they're living in a world that didn't change because their other parent died, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It is sad, though.
It is. Well.
Oh. Oh, wait. My mom just texted me something, and I'm pretty sure it was that death row guy.
Oh, was she, is she keeping? She's going to have to be our, like, live coverage.
Yeah, she's gonna have to help us out.
Oh,
it's a lady in Little Rock, Arkansas, who was convicted more than 3 decades ago of fatally shooting her husband, who had physically abused her. She's having her life sentence commuted by the governor.
Oh.
That's great. Okay, let me check on Mr. Nathaniel Wood, see if there's any updates.
Okay. Oh,
do you have any questions or anything else about the case?
No, but I didn't give you my death row fact.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So mine is very simple this week. Okay, there were 36. I said death row fact. This isn't death row week. Sorry, I'm tired. My murder-suicide fact. There were 36 of them in February. You there? Oh man, are you there?
Oh my god, I'm here. Yeah.
Oh, I can hear you. Okay, I was like, it went super silent. And
you know what?
I thought I was alone.
I clicked on an article, Misty, and it had a video. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh.
I was just like, hello.
Hello. Yeah.
Like, that was a really shocking fact or something.
Whoa. Like, yeah.
Okay, so there were 36 murder-suicides in the month of February.
What?
That was the total number. That's a lot.
For this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the month of February.
Oh my gosh.
There was one on February 26th in Wisconsin. 6 people died. I don't know who they were, but...
In Wisconsin alone, there was a murder-suicide where 6 people died?
Yeah, in one murder-suicide.
Oh, wow.
And then... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 already in March. And today's the 5th.
It's so sad. It's so common.
I know. I never knew. I never knew. There were 2 on March the 2nd. Yeah. That's just crazy how common it is. There was one yesterday.
It just blows my mind. I mean, I think, like, I definitely, this the lady in this case, maybe because she's a mother, maybe because, like, her trauma over losing her husband was so evident, was just, like, written into everything that she, but, I don't want to say that I've been unsympathetic to the, like, murderer of the murder-suicides, but it has been difficult for me to, because I don't like that in a murder-suicide, you're removing another human being's agency. Like, did she talk to her daughter and be like, listen, we're going to have to move to a smaller house. You're not going to get a car. And actually, your grades weren't good enough and you can't get a scholarship. And so you're going to have to go to the community college. Like, did she present those things to her daughter and her daughter be like, I can't live that way. Like, you know what I mean? Or was her daughter's agency just completely removed? I don't like, it makes me feel weird about, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's the same thing as murder, but like, it's your, usually like your family, and just that removal of agency is so, it's just so criminal to me. Like, I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah. I don't feel like, I feel like if she would have said those things to her daughter, then she would have been understanding and they would still be alive.
Right. Like, her daughter would probably be like, calm down. Like,
yeah,
I wanted to go to community college
like,
anyway.
You can't live here anymore. Your dad's dead. I mean, I feel like she would have been like, okay, mom, you know,
right,
let's move somewhere. Unless she was a complete brat. I don't know that she was, but.
But even in that case, like, if it's just the brattiness, like, it's not like, I mean, like, you can be a brat and eventually get over, like, the loss of a certain type of lifestyle. I think, I don't, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, we're gonna have to find out the Nathaniel Woods an update on, online somewhere.
Oh, did you see anything?
I did, but I can't read the article. There's only one article. Oh. It's on... Oh, and I got my information from CBS and Dallas Morning News. Okay. The Dallas Morning News.
Let's see. News. I'm looking up... the last... thing I see. There's one in here. That's the whole entire article. All I can see,
goodness,
though, is that I think it's still on as of right now. I don't think it's happened yet.
It has not happened yet. Misty?
Hmm?
I was just making sure you were still there.
Yeah, I was just trying to read these articles. I was like, okay, 13 minutes ago. I saw one while ago. I can't find the article again, but it was live updates.
Yeah.
I can't find it again, but... the last thing I see is that he is set to be executed today, and that they said the media wasn't there yet. They were going to bust the people over to where it's supposed to happen.
Oh,
Alabama sure does like to kill people, I swear. It's a small state. I mean, well, let me see here. Okay, 2 in 2019, 2 in 2018, 3 in 2017. Yeah.
Okay, what time is it? 8:39. Yeah, I don't see anything new since 7:53.
All right, well, give us a silver lining then.
My silver lining is, oh, I had a silver lining from last week that I forgot, because remember I couldn't think of one.
Yes, what is it?
I thought of it later. Okay, so it was about the case. So the cabin, the girl's dad, like, rebuilt the cabin.
After the murder? Nice with it.
Yes, okay. Like remodeled it or whatever, because part of it was on fire, you know?
Yeah.
And so they said even nicer than it was before, and they still spent time as families there. And the dad, he eventually passed away, but the girls say that their families still go there to this day.
Oh.
And it's still like a place of like love and comfort, and that the killers didn't run all that for them.
That's so sweet. Like he did not allow them to take that away from them. Like, that was, yes, a happy space for them, and he rebuilt it. God, I swear that man is just like an angel on earth. Like,
I know. Like, I know.
Whoa. Listen.
I know.
These standards, like.
Such a sweet, dear man.
I just keep picturing him riding down a hill, just on fire, blood flying on a snowmobile. And then he goes back and rebuilds the... Jeez, Misty, that, yeah, is such a good silver lining.
I know. I was like, oh, I can't believe I forgot to say that.
I love it.
Yeah. That was my good one. And my other one for this week is, I'm just super excited for my trip tomorrow. And
yes,
that's my silver lining in my personal life, is that I'm going on a girls' weekend, and I cannot wait.
I'm so excited to hear all about it. That is a good silver lining. Okay, I'm trying to
think. What's yours?
Let's see here. My daughter and her best friend are doing their duet for the first time in competition this weekend, so I'm excited about that.
Aww.
Yes. I've made it to the gym twice so far this week, which lately has been super good for me.
Good job. Good job.
Thank you, ma'am. My silver linings are so lame compared to yours. Okay, let's see here. What else? What
no,
else?
They're not. They're perfect.
Let's see here. What else? Oh, the sun is coming out, y'all. So I'm happy about that.
Oh, I know. I'm so excited about the sunshine today.
Just wiping away some depression. Beautiful. Like, yes. So beautiful.
I know. I got in my car and I opened the sunroof up. Driving, it was so lovely.
Oh my gosh, I was at the park charting for like 2 hours today, and it was like,
I was so jealous when you said,
oh
that
my
earlier.
Word, I was so happy. I was just, and I was at the old mill. Yes,
so pretty there.
It is. If any of y'all are ever in North Little Rock, Arkansas, check out the old mill. It's a park. They rebuilt a mill from like, I don't know, 18 something, 1820, I think. And there's a whole little park. Huh?
And it's the, it's where they film the first scene of the movie, Gone with the Wind.
That is true. Yes. Yes. And it's super pretty. And here in about 3 weeks, I don't know what the trees are called, but they always get covered in purple blossoms. They're going to bloom out. They haven't bloomed out yet, but there's ducks. There's a lake. There's a mill with a water wheel thing. And it's super, so check it out if you're ever in North Little Rock. Yeah.
Yeah.
North Little Rock, Arkansas, that is. Yes. Oh my God. I am so tired.
I am so tired too. Oh. And I still have to pack in.
Oh gosh. Okay.
What else? Shower. And I have to get up super early in the morning.
Like, oh yeah.
It's like 4:45, I think.
Oh, Yeah, I usually wake up around then, but that's like my own personal choice. So,
I hate it. I don't function correctly if I wake up before 5:30.
Really?
Yeah, I'm. Oh, if wow. I wake up at 5:29, I'm tired.
5:29.
If I wake up at 5:30. I'm good.
Okay, I know exactly what you mean, because if I set my alarm for 4:30, like that whole day I'm wasted. But if I set my alarm for 4:36, I'm like, it's gonna be a good day. But yes. I just function a lot better if I've had some time to myself before I, you know, communicate with other humans. So, all right, yeah. Well, we'll be back next week. I also, another silver lining, Misty is amazing at social media and she's been keeping up with all of ours. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
All right.
I feel like I slacked a little bit, this last week, but
whatever. You've been out there killing it on the green mile.
Okay, y'all, send us an email, dyingtokillpodcast@gmail.com. Instagram is dyingtokill_podcast.
Yep,
is that right?
Yep, that's right. Remember. Yeah.
And Facebook is dyingtokillpodcast.
Leave us a voicemail on Anchor.
Oh, yeah, you can leave us a voicemail. And
tell us about the crime that keeps you up at night.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So we will talk to you all next week.
All right. Bye, y'all. Bye, Kelly.
Bye.